up, everybody. It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We are west. We're in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're uptown by the university, as a matter of fact. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am fantastic. How you doing, brother?
Dude, there's a little convenience store across the street. Landfill, you'd be very jealous. There's also a Raising Cane's across the street.
Oh.
Which I think is probably going to be lunch, B.
There's a place called The Eagle we need to go to.
Okay. We'll check that out also.
Best fried chicken in the world.
Oh, I'm
into
that.
I just got a whole tour of this place.
In your Uber?
Yeah, we drove from my hotel to here, and the guy was like, you say, this was nothing but murder here. I'm like, what the hell is JP? Where's JP staying? Why do I have to come over here?
It does give off previous murder vibes.
You can see where they've already come in and revitalized the area. Then you can see where they're working on.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you start getting here, it's a little bit more. They're starting to clean up stuff again. And it reminds you a lot of D.C.
Dude, well, yeah, what's crazy that people may not know about Cincinnati is when you fly into the airport, you're in Kentucky. And, you're in Kentucky for a minute. Like, it's not like it's that close. So I spent a fair amount of time in Kentucky yesterday.
I noticed I see a lot of bourbon everywhere. There you go.
They got bourbon,
they're close to
everywhere.
Kentucky.
Kerwin and I had to drive around to try to find a good spot.
I just saw Kerwin.
Yeah, dude, I just 48 at this hotel also. I saw 48 downstairs.
I tried to ignore him, though.
But so I'm at this little convenience store this morning. I got some Celsius and some bottles of water, et cetera, right?
Uh-huh.
And the woman, the clerk, like the lady that I paid for my goods, was wearing a Bengals shirt.
Everybody wears Bengals shirts around here.
They rep
that damn city, dog.
For sure.
Believe
and yesterday there was a Reds game. Everybody was wearing Reds gear. Like,
this is
a different city than D.C. in a number of ways.
This is a sports town.
But at home, you know how at home, like, it is often, no matter what event you go to, there's a lot of away fans. And then there's just, like, other people.
Yeah.
Like, there's just the random people in Steelers jerseys or whatever. Like, this... The only thing I've seen so far is Bengals gear and a couple – and last night, especially where we were, like Commanders gear. But the woman this morning says to me, you know, how are you? I was like, oh, I'm good. I was like, big game tonight. She's like, yeah, they should win. Washington's pretty bad. And I was just like, all right, lady at the counter.
Yeah.
I wasn't
– She better be careful.
Yeah. I think –
Yesterday made me feel that there's a chance.
Dude, the NFL is crazy. Like – I mean, nobody had the Giants winning. Nobody had the Broncos going to Tampa.
Going away.
Yes. 26-7. Even though they were 2-0, there was a real discussion if the Vikings were any good. And
they seem to be.
Houston came up there and they throttled them.
Landfill, you may have to apologize to Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Landfill, are you prepared to apologize to Sam Darnold?
I will never apologize.
We should say good morning to the boys. Good morning, Landini. Good morning, Jeffrey. How's everybody doing?
What's up, fellas? I'm great.
What up, brother?
Good. But perhaps the most interesting game. Yesterday was a heck of a day. The Rams coming back on the Niners. The presumed Super Bowl favorites in the NFC. The Niners are now 1-2. The Dallas Cowboys are now 1-2. The Eagles actually had an impressive win coming back in the Superdome. You and I both know how that Superdome gets. It's loud. It's crazy. Maybe they were helped along the way there, but Dallas got absolutely boat raced. Then late in that game, tried to make it interesting. Cowboys lose at home to the Ravens 28-25. Did you get to watch a lot of that one? I know you had your podcast going last night.
Nah.
It was... I mean, dude, it was 28-6.
I know.
And then Dallas got red hot late and wasn't able to pull off the comeback. You know, if you look at the NFC East right now, Philly getting that win when a lot of people didn't think they would kind of stands out. They're now 2-1. The Giants got the win on the road at Cleveland. I am not making a judgment on whatever has transpired in his personal life, okay? Deshaun Watson sucks.
Man.
Like, he's just not a good quarterback.
Not been good at all.
Dude, last night he was 21 of 37. Now, he did throw two touchdowns. I think he had a fumble. I mean, that game was fairly gross. Both teams were 4 of 14 on third down. Not a lot of continuity when you see numbers like that. Of the NFC East right now, and obviously Washington's playing tonight, we're going to cover every single angle of that game. Of the NFC East right now, I mean, I just don't trust the Eagles at all. Even though they got that win, it seemed like there was still a lot of beef with Sirianni.
It may be, but I'm just saying, Jay, you got to start to look at the fact that when they don't play good, they win still.
Yeah.
I mean, and when a team can be winning when they're not playing good, that's a damn good team. And if they happen to get their ish together, it's going to be a real problem. So I look at them, and I look at them. They're struggling at this point. They're not playing good, but they still get wins.
Sure.
You know, when you get that, that's going to be a problem for people.
What do you make of the Cowboys being 1-2?
It's Dallas. I mean, they are always a team that's loaded with talent, but for some reason, they don't play consistently up to it. So I'm kind of happy that I see Dallas playing like that.
Well, dude, one thing you got to wonder, and not to suggest that the results here have been that good, but I also think they lack the talent Dallas has defensively. But you lose Dan Quinn, you lose Joe Witt from that staff, and you know they obviously knew how to run that Cowboys defense pretty damn well.
Yeah, when they come out early and they win the game, people wanted to start to poo-poo on Joe Witt and Dan Quinn. Now you look at the defense and you go, oh, okay, well, maybe they do something that the other guy doesn't know.
They gave up 450 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ravens looked pretty good. I was going against Derrick Henry in fantasy, which was unfortunate. Just running the ball last night, you had Derrick Henry went 25 carries for 150 yards with two touchdowns. Lamar, 14 for 87 with a touchdown. Mm. Lamar, super accurate, but not a lot of passes thrown.
Yeah.
12 of 15 for a buck 80 with a touchdown.
Hey, man, that's well
that's
over 10
carries. That's their recipe, dude.
That's 10 over a ca- 10, 10 per. 10
yeah.
per a tip.
I mean, that is their recipe, dude, and it's different. Will that ever break through for them and win a Super Bowl? I'm unsure. It's Bonvoy guest.
All right.
And then, you know what? I'm going to just tell the world. We're in room 611, and my last name is Finley. If anybody wants to come hang out, come on through. That's how you get on the Wi-Fi. I just don't know what to make of the Cowboys. Offensively, they're clearly gifted. Dak yesterday threw 51 passes. They were in comeback mode. He threw for 379 yards and two touchdowns. Dallas completely incapable of running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in an interesting time right now where, you know, scoring numbers are still down. Yesterday might have ticked up a hair. But some organizations have decided to invest at the running back position while most haven't.
Yeah.
But the ones that have, it's largely paying off for. I mean, look at Baltimore with Henry.
Yeah.
And Dallas – Their plan was Rico Dowdle as their primary back, and then you got Zeke Elliott. They just can't run the ball. I mean, yesterday, rushing, they had 50 yards. They had 50 yards running.
How many carries?
Dowdle had 8, Dak had 2, Zeke. Actual running back carries, 13.
Wow.
It's just... when you're so one-sided like that, and then in their pass game, everything revolves around CD, and he didn't have a particularly effective game. They had to lean on their tight end a lot. It's just it's hard to call that a real functioning offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't know that Pollard was the answer. I know a lot of Dallas folks. The kid Braylon Allen, that's the backup to the to Breece Hall for the Jets,
yeah.
Wisconsin kid. A lot of people thought Dallas would take him in the draft. Damn, they could use him. They have player.
They wanted to go back and get the what was, and he is no longer.
No,
let's get that straight.
No, not at all. How did you and I caught up after everything last night? But it was kind of a zoo when we caught up. How did the podcast go? Because there are a ton of Commanders fans here. I imagine they were all at the bar.
They were all
watching
at that.
You.
We were at this Irish bar.
McMurphy's or something?
McMurphy's, and it was packed, and they were feeling good.
I bet.
Yeah.
Because the Commanders fans I saw kind of on the streets were all seem to be feeling good. And I feel like, listen, man, these folks aren't traveling to Cincinnati to watch a team lose. But I feel like collectively the headspace of Commanders fans is in a pretty good spot. And what I mean is this is a big opportunity tonight to show organizationally where you're at.
Progress.
Yeah, but I think progress can be measured in a number of ways.
Yeah, yeah. But I talked to some guys last night, and I said, what are you looking for? And the guy said, listen, man, if we keep progressing and Jaden keeps showing what he's about, that's what you want this year. He said, I'm not looking for us to go out there and win so many games. He said, that's not the reality of it. What they're trying to do is build something that's going to be sustainable. And when I heard a fan saying it, I damn near fell off my seat. Because normally fans...
See if they're saying that in the third quarter tonight.
Yeah. But these guys, they were talking about what they've seen and the changes since the ownership has changed and all that stuff. So I'm happy for them.
Good morning to all the folks on the stream. We're getting it up and running right now. I see a bunch of people are chiming in with curse words towards Dallas. Good for you. Me and B holding it down out here in Cincinnati in advance of this game. And I think you're so right, Brian. I think it's really pretty damn remarkable. Just if you think about, like, the LSU connections in this game. Burrow, Chase, Daniels.
Yeah.
Talent.
Yeah, dude. And then you had two
Hall of Famers
yesterday, right?
I mean, not Hall of Famers. Two Heisman Trophy winners.
I know. It's crazy. Like, if I had to have a goal of things for tonight, it is that Jaden continues to show as a passer like he did in the second half of that Giants game where he was lights out.
Yeah.
Like he has played well throughout, and he has showed to be a dynamic playmaker.
Yep.
And he's hit some good passes. He's certainly shown with his legs. In the second half of that game against the Giants, he was A+. I mean, he was really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. And being able to hit that level, we haven't seen a quarterback that can deliver A+ football.
Hey.
I mean,
what did David
Kirk at times got really hot, Robert at times got really hot, but that just looked different to me anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's better than anybody because it was a half.
Yeah.
But if you can get to that level and maybe maintain it longer or like that, I worry about the defense.
But that's
tonight.
What you're looking for. I mean, you're looking for that, and I think you look at him right now being that young and being able to do those things, and you basically your idea is that he's going to grow more into it.
Yep.
And David Aldridge, when we had him on the show earlier this year, he said if he can show you one thing every week as to why you drafted him at the position you did, that would be a plus for this season. He's shown more than that. And I think he's going to show us some more. You know, so I think the ultimate thing is that he keeps growing. And if he keeps growing, believe me, everything around him is going to grow.
Totally, man. And I think, you know what I'm actually a little curious about tonight? Jeff, see if you can look this up. I don't know the how or why to this, but sometimes you just have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling Luke McCaffrey makes a couple plays tonight. He's been getting open. One thing Jaden said, I went back. Actually, shout out to Earl Forsey, dude. Earl, when Earl does that early morning Sunday, countdown to kickoff, I think it's called, Earl's show is so good, mm-hmm. and he's got so much. What Earl does a really good job of is like is all the audio that gets compiled throughout the week out in Ashburn, he chops up little pieces, and he played something that yesterday. I was driving to Dulles, I think, and it stuck with me where Jaden was talking about the first game there was so much pressure that I just kind of had to react,
mm-hmm.
and then the second game they weren't blitzing as much, but they were trying to mess with my eyes, and I feel like for a young quarterback, that's almost as hard. Like, when the blitz comes, he sees it, goes yeah. the other way. But help people understand maybe what that means when they're trying to mess with his eyes as a rookie QB.
Well, what they're doing, they're starting in one look, and as he starts his cadence and he began to move people, they might move right before that and change the look up to where you may see strength in certain place where they look like they may be bringing somebody and they back off of it. Somebody else slides down. You are sitting up here trying to figure out, okay, what are they in? And I think teams do it to where right after you shift somebody, they'll move, the defense moves, to make you have to question, did you just make a right move or should you go back? So young quarterbacks, they react to everything that moves. Just like when you looking on defense, if you start going
much like young men.
when you're on offense and you start to put people in motion, the defense is like, oh, what are they doing here? So you see them react. The defense does the exact same thing to the offense, just to make you have that little question, a slight question where you think, are they trying to do something here? And that little hesitate. Like I always say, if you're thinking on the football field, you're messing up.
There's no time.
Just react on the football field.
Yeah, there's no time, man. I think for Jaden to say that means he's learning, because that dude is processing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these everything's about these chips nowadays, right? And during COVID, when there was like a chip shortage, nobody could get a car, all this stuff. Like, Jaden's brain processes like a chip. Like, the dude is wired. You know what I mean? And I think the way he has now seen two pretty different defenses, I think Jaden will be ready to go tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you my greatest fear for tonight. And it's not.
Why are you fearing anything, Jay?
Fear maybe is the wrong word. A player that I don't think we are focused on enough.
Ooh.
Everybody's going to worry about Burrow to Chase, right?
Uh-huh.
And obviously.
You worried about Boyd?
They're going to get. Well, no, Boyd's in Tennessee. Higgins. Higgins is going to be back tonight. I think he will be a huge factor. Everybody worries about Jaden Daniels as a runner. What I'm worried about tonight is Trey Hendrickson, man. People do not talk about that dude enough. Mm-hmm. He is an absolute weapon on the edge for the Bengals. Made Pro Bowls the last few seasons. Had 17 and a half sacks last year.
Yeah.
He's got 2 sacks so far this season. He's a bad ass. And you're talking about Andrew Wiley, who's had some struggles. You're talking about Brandon Coleman, who's a rookie. Maybe you're talking about Cornelius Lucas working in. You can be as worried as you want about sliding and running and everything else, but you can get hit hard as hell in the pocket. I think they need a plan there.
Chip. That chip you're talking about is different than the one I'm talking about. A tight end or a running back needs to put something in his chest or on his shoulder every time they go past him.
Sure.
Make him realize you're not going to be going one-on-one all day, buddy.
Yeah, that's like of the names that are in my head kind of going into tonight, Hendrickson is a problem. I kind of think McCaffrey could stand out. We're just getting warmed up. It's game day, man. You know what Earl called it? The Doc Walker Bowl. Bengals versus Washington. I love it. It's going to be a fun night, man. One way or another, it's going to be a fun night. We're going to learn a lot. Nobody go anywhere. Bowie for you, bringing you back. Lanville, you are in charge of the show sheet, right? And I don't want to, I gotta properly credit you when you have theories. I also heard from some Philadelphia fans yesterday. Let's do it again. Open the phone lines up. If anybody is still mad about the value Adam Peters got for Jahan Dotson, please call the program. Devontae Smith went down, I think, with a concussion yesterday. Don't quote me on that. I didn't get to watch much of that Eagles-Saints game. I didn't land until like 2:30, and then I had to do a bunch of work. But we all know A.J. Brown is out. Devontae Smith went out. You would think the Eagles' pass game really needs something. And Jahan Dotson gave them 2 catches for 8 yards, 3 targets. Now, Lanville, on the show sheet you wrote, I want to directly quote this. Sunday recap. Giants, Eagles, Panthers, Vikings win. Dotson bad. So, please explain, Landini.
He's bad. There's not a whole lot more to it than that. He's just appears to not be that good at football.
I got to be honest, man. Obviously, that's accurate. I don't know where it all came from. I don't know what changed between his rookie season and then that second season and then now.
Some people that you, when you like, think about football is when you go out there and you have a level of talent, cool. But if you don't work on that talent, the other people catch you and they figure you out. Once you figure it out, if you don't have something new to deliver, you look very, very average. And I think that's what happened. He did not keep improving. You know, and it had that good year his first year. You've seen it happen a lot. Somebody have a great year the first year, then they come back the second year, then they put no work in. They felt good about what they put out there the first year instead of realizing you have to improve for the next year.
Yeah, you know what's funny is you always hear it with golfers, right? Like even Tiger Woods at his prime. They would come back and they'd be in Maui or that early the early tournament in San Diego at Torrey Pines. And they'd be like, yeah, you know, all offseason he was working on redoing his wedges or redoing his putting stroke or redoing – I mean, think about how many times Tiger changed his swing over the course of his career. And you're like, dude, why? Like, you're really, really
good. You're
better
than everybody already.
Right.
And because they're always working on something
else. Because if you don't try to get better, you're getting worse.
I think MJ did the same thing.
Sure. So. I mean, the reality is in any of these super highly competitive sports – there's always somebody coming for your job. Hell, any industry, frankly. There's always somebody that wants the exact job you have. Mm-hmm. And they're working their ass off, so you have to work your ass off too. And I don't know what happened specific to Dotson, but I don't know. That thing looks like it's gone completely sideways. Jalen Hurts, dude, when he was really good two seasons ago and that Eagles team went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Chiefs, I'd say the thing – so Hurts remains an explosive playmaker.
Yeah.
He can get the ball downfield, and his running ability is elite. But two seasons ago, when he was great and the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, he didn't turn the ball over. He had only six interceptions in 22. Mm-hmm. I'll try to pull up the rushing numbers to see what the fumbles were. So he had 15 turnovers that year because he lost nine fumbles. Mm-hmm. When you rush for 760 yards and you're getting hit in the pocket like that, I'm not worried about that number. But dude, he's a turnover machine these days. He had an interception and a fumble yesterday, and if you think about it on like the scale of the season, last year he had 15 interceptions. Mm-hmm. So when you couple that with the nine fumbles, now all of a sudden you're talking about turning it over 25 times. Mm-hmm. And the rate he's at right now, he's already got four picks through three games to go with three fumbles already. So he's at seven turnovers through three games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to win.
You're not going to win a lot of games, right? But, you know, you still have to look at the fact they're 2-1 while they're working on it.
Yeah, I mean – right now, so I think more and more with quarterbacks, especially as mobile quarterbacks become the norm in the NFL, or at least it's trending that way, I think total touchdowns versus total turnovers is a far more receptive statistic than touchdowns to interceptions. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
it should be that way. I mean, if you're a guy that runs and passes the ball, you need to be judged based off of the turnovers when you're running and passing.
Sure.
But the league and the stats people are still slow at the fact of touchdowns to turnover ratio.
Right.
You know?
He's at 4-7, but they're 2-1.
Think about it. Even a guy that's in the quarter, that drops back in the pocket, and they throw the ball. Let's say he throw 30 touchdowns and they have 15 interceptions. But they had another 10 fumbles in the pocket. You know? That still is not something that they look at, but you should.
Now, the Giants got a much-needed win yesterday. Good for them. Malik Nabers looks like the dude. Malik Nabers looks like the dude.
Man, those LSU receivers, brother.
But how now? Have you seen Saquon's stat line from this Eagles game?
I know. I know who probably had like some type of anxiety attack yesterday.
Saquon last night or yesterday?
Yeah, he averaged 8.6 yards a carry.
17 for a .147.
Yeah,
with two touchdowns and.
He can't play, though. We don't want to pay that money for him. We'd rather keep Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones played good yesterday, though. He basically had two times more yards than Montgomery. Not Montgomery. It's the kid.
Singletary.
Singletary.
Singletary played all right yesterday.
Yeah,
too.
But he had Saquon had one more carry and 80-something yards more rushing.
Saquon finished 17 for 147.
Singletary had 16.
16 for 65.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair to, like, I'm not trying to judge Devin Singletary on Saquon. It's the decision-making, and particularly it's the decision-making against the backdrop of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That, like, we learned with Joe Shane. The Giants did get the dub in Cleveland yesterday. That was my pick in the weekend parlay, Landfill. It hit, baby. Danny Dimes was pretty good, 24-34, 236, two touchdowns. But you know what? Daboll, Jones, the offense in New York does smartly. They just throw the ball all the time to Malik Nabers. He had 12 targets in that game yesterday. Finished 8 catches, 8 yards, 2 touchdowns. This was not an artistic game. The Giants got out to an early lead, kind of let Cleveland fight their way back. The Giants were up 21-7 and before Cleveland scored late. I don't know that the Giants are very good. They kind of got their pass rush going a little bit yesterday. Nabers is very good, though.
Yeah.
So my boy Lee asked me this yesterday, B, and I'm curious your answer. Ignore contract stuff. Say everybody is signed to a 5-year deal. Okay? Everybody is signed to the same 5-year deal. 3 LSU receivers. Ja'Marr Chase that we'll see tonight, Justin Jefferson that played yesterday in Minnesota, and the rookie, Malik Nabers, for the Giants. What's your order? Who do you want first, second, and then who are you taking third?
I'm still taking Jefferson first.
Okay.
And then I'll take Chase second, and then I'll take Nabers third. Let's be real. Who cares about first, second, third? They all on the field at the same time.
You don't know. You don't get to have all of them. This is your.
I'm the offensive coordinator. Bro. You think I'm not gonna run? If I got those 3 guys on my team, I'm not gonna put all 3 of them on the football field.
Is there a chance? Is there a chance you take Nate? I think it's got to be Jefferson first.
I think he's hitting a level already in this league. Torch this league. They come back the next year to try and stop him. He torch him again.
And he's doing
it. Now he's making a quarterback that was ordinarily garbage look great.
Right. That's the thing that really stands out to me is that he's doing it with Darnold. Chase has been fantastic. I mean, Chase has gone for at least 1,000 yards every season. He's had double-digit touchdowns as a rookie. He's missed a little bit of time with injury and had a little bit of a rough start to this season. I kind of think that's more contract BS related. Any chance you put Nabers ahead of Chase?
Not yet.
He looks good though.
Yeah, but that's the thing I always tell you. We see something 2 games, we want to put him.
Sure.
Nah, he got to do it the whole season if you're going to be ahead of that guy.
Now, but if it's for the next 5 years, do you want the guy that's younger?
I don't really care about how old you are anymore because I told you after 30, I had my better stuff. So a lot of guys get better as they get older. You know, athletes are different. You know, you watch these guys running track. So we look at the young man from Bullis. He's 16. Imagine when he's 24. He's going to be much stronger. He runs 46 now in the 400 meters. That kid can run 44, 45 before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to address my guy Jim Sleazy. In the chat, he says that I'm being petty about the Jahan argument. I think you were off. I think you had a golf tournament or something. There was a day where I had a solo show, and it was after Dotson got traded. Mm-hmm. And there were about 1,000 people calling in screaming that they undersold. And I said, yo, the market is the market. Like,
Jim is the guy that must like him. That's why he's saying you're
being petty. I'm just saying, my only point was that there's no way Peter's undersold. He got everything he could, especially to send him in the division. He's getting everything he can.
And Jim, I'll say this.
That was my only point.
The day it happened, I was asked to come on several shows in Philadelphia. And I was honest about what I thought. And I said that the kid has great, because he's still the same guy he was his rookie season. Other people in the league have figured it out now. I say, and he's going to have to find that little competitive side of him back. because I thought he lost that. Well, those same people have called me and say, man, you were honest, but you could have told us all this. They now are mad at the Eagles for even making the trade.
Third rounder. And now the way they stack picks up there and they'll get comp picks and blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying I think they found the value. If you are looking for value, I can tell you where to find it. It's with the Orsman Automotive Group of Virginia. They've got seven locations all over Northern Virginia, from Chantilly to Alexandria. They got all the brands you want. Buick, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, GMC, those dope Ram trucks, two Toyota stores, Kia stores. They got everything you need, man. They got great service, great people. People really make the difference. You can buy a car anywhere, but you want people that you enjoy working with. And, Brian, I know they've got the Orsman Lifetime Edge.
Yeah, they have the Lifetime Edge, but what I like about them is, like, you know, they take care of people no matter who they are. So I have a buddy of mine, Alante Brown. He called me and said, man, I want to get that EV9. So he just sent me a picture. He got it from Billy. Billy took care of him.
Oh, nice.
And now he told me, look, man, y'all got to get me a sweatshirt. He wants one of the sweatshirts. So they take care of people
that
we send to them. Everyone thinks when we do these reads, oh, yeah, they just do stuff for us. But, no, if they're cool with us and we're doing it, we really believe in these, in the business that we're talking about. So if you go over there, you get the Orsman Lifetime Edge. They give you a free car. And up to $1,500 in extra, you get a car for every you get a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance. You also get a loaner car for every major maintenance. And they can, if you want to sell your car, you go over to Orsman. They're going to give you 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value. Most people don't do that. They give you less, or they sell you 100%. But Kia and Orsman goes over and above. So take it from JP and I, two beyond satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
Be Mitch and Finley. 106.7 The Fan. Landfill's playing Aerosmith. It is a game day, baby. Burgundy and Gold Game Day is presented by Rude. Rude, Rude, boy, is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rude and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit Rude.com, R-U-U-D.com. And remember, Brian,
if it ain't Rude, it ain't right.
All righty. Listen, we're going to go all football all day, but I did have to ask you this C.J. Abrams thing. Did you see all of it?
See all of it? I talk with Bees about it.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel because
listen,
guys should be able to do what they want. 8 a.m. is kind of late. I just hate that the kid got narked out via Twitter by some dude. Now, maybe the team security staff or whatever knew what was going on anyway.
As I stated many a times, can't blame the dude that knocked him out. If he wasn't out there, the dude couldn't knock him.
You don't have to answer this. What was the latest you were out the night before a game?
I never left out before the game. And this is no lie. I mean, listen, when you go in town, normally we went to places, and where we normally stayed in our hotels, they normally was like in an industrial park area. it wasn't nothing around us. And then again, they're going to know you're an athlete. You know, like, even in training camp, dudes like, yo, man, nah. When I was in Frostburg, Carlisle, they know I'm not just somebody from around that area.
Especially you know in Frostburg, I mean? And Carlisle,
so,
yeah.
And, but, like, the before games, I never left out.
Well, it's – I mean, can you imagine if?
But the thing about it,
think about MJ.
But baseball
in the
players this
went
the thing about
to
it
Atlantic City.
But baseball players and basketball players, a lot, they don't have curfews.
Right.
We had a curfew, so if he didn't have a curfew, you could be mad at him. But that's his right to go where the hell he wants to go. And if he sat there and played whatever he was playing, that's cool to him. If he went and performed the next day, what you really mad at?
I just think, how much money is Abrams making? Rookie deal, he hadn't hit free agency or arbitration or any of that
stuff
yet.
Still making good money, though.
Sure. Generally, when I've been at the casino, and I've had some nights, like in Vegas, back when the Hard Rock used to
be. Either you're losing or you're winning when you stay that long.
Yeah. And odds are, you're losing.
Yeah, but you're chasing it all the time.
Right.
And if you're winning, you're looking for it. You know, I think you talk to some of his other teammates in front of a camera, they're going to probably say, yeah, you know, he probably should not have been that late. But off camera, they'll be like, man, hell, we've been out there before like that.
That, I mean, that was late, man. So how do you feel about Rizzo sending him down?
I listen, bro, he can do what he want, but if the guy is major league talent, you sending him down because he went somewhere, that seems like That's what you do to elementary students. You don't do that to no damn grown-ass man or pro. You just find him, whatever. If it's a problem, you find him, and you keep moving. Moving him down ain't helping the team, is it?
My only thought, I support Rizzo in his decision-making. Davey Martinez came out and said, sending him down. Dude, apparently Thursday night, he was 4 or 5 with 2 steals, right? And then Friday, so apparently he was out all night Thursday. Friday was the day game. He went 0-for in that game, and then they sent him down. Martinez said, I just wanted to be known it wasn't performance-based. It's an internal issue. I'm not going to get into specifics or talk specifics because I need to keep everything on the down low. I've got other guys out there I want to support. I'm going
if they had talked to him about it, if it was something that happened before and they talked to him about it and he did it again, I can understand.
I got a feeling. Like,
but it happened one time, and I don't buy it.
He wrote
the moving him down.
More from Davey. He said, I'm going to support CJ. He's a big part of our Nats family, and he will be. But without getting into any details, this was the right thing to do. I don't think this is the first time. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the first time it came out on Twitter or whatever, but this sounds like this is – happened, and they're finally like, dude, it's enough. It's enough.
Yeah. But if he were like a Aaron Judge or a Tiny, he wouldn't have been sent down for doing that.
If they were in the
if they needed to win this week to get into
the wild card, I think it could be different too.
Yeah.
But you're in a scenario where, to be real, the games kind of don't matter. And all right, we're going to send a message now with 4 games left in late September.
Mm-hmm.
I still, though, when I saw it, I was like, damn. And let's make a deal as a group of people here. Let's not narc people out on social media. Like, what do you gain?
No, don't go out on social media. I mean, if you want to be able to do something like that, there's private rooms and high limits you could be at, and you don't have to be around everybody else.
Dude, Tay in the chat makes a very good point.
What do you say?
Shohei got him scared. Maybe MLB is like, dude, but we gotta lock in on some of this stuff.
That may be it, because the question is, okay, he's in the casino. He has a right to go in the casino.
Hell yeah.
He can gamble on everything he wants. Better be gambling on baseball.
Sure.
So to make sure you just try to make other people a little leery of going, let's do this.
Well, dude, you know what?
Because the Shohei thing just has been whitewashed and moved away too quickly for me to think that based on just what he said is happening. And then the guy's 50-50 now, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. They don't want to lose that because guess what? He has a hell of a following from his country.
Sure, and
so
here.
So there is no way possible that his person did everything without him ever knowing anything.
Dude,
come on, man. Please.
The level of which everybody is burying their head in the sand in baseball related to Shohei Ohtani
is, even for
sports leagues that are inherently superficial and hypocritical, that's still next level.
Hey, let's think about it. Baseball, football, basketball, all of them. They are so tough on all the players. But they sure land in bed with them with the damn the gambling aspect.
Sure.
Come on, bro. It's crazy.
Professor Landini, your take on C.J. Abrams getting sent down.
Bummer, man.
At all a surprise?
I mean, I guess a little bit. I feel like you could just wait a week, and then, you know, the season's over because the Nats sure as hell ain't going to the playoffs, and you could stay out as late as you want.
Yeah. I think, to Brian's point, this is not the first time perhaps CJ's gotten in a little late. Here's what we're going to do. When we come back, we're going to the Bengals radio call to get information on tonight. What can we expect from T. Higgins, who's back on the field? Dave Lapham joins us next.